Hi there. You may think that because I'm a big Hollywood actor, I don't need to sell. But actually, I do. I need to sell my voice for use in commercials. I have to sell the characters I become and the movies I'm in. Sometimes I even have to sell some of my used clothing at garage sales. And that's why I listen to the Advanced Selling Podcast with Bill Caskey and Brian Neal. Come along with me for a new episode.
Is that Morgan Freeman?
That was Morgan Freeman.
It was not. It sounded just like him. Who was it?
It was Morgan Freeman. I mean, he's a sales guy. You
he
didn't
is,
know this.
Obviously.
He sells. I mean, think about auditions. When he does auditions, he goes
boy
out,
didn't know
selling.
What he was up for when he got to Shawshank. That no, was really good. Where'd you get that? That was outstanding.
We told, let's let the listeners in. We told Brian that we had a special guest today.
Oh,
he didn't know anything
gosh.
About that. So, no.
Come on out, Morgan. Morgan Freeman, everybody. Golf claps.
He called me a couple weeks ago and said, is there any way I can help you guys out? And I said, sure. You
That's
can do
really,
a little...
really, really, really
good.
I love that. Very good. You're not going to tell me who that is, are you?
Fat Ugly Monkey is who that is.
Morgan
no,
Freeman.
Yeah. We do a lot of things on Fiverr. You've heard of Fiverr.
Well, I have heard of Fiverr.
Fiverr.
Yes.
com. You can
yes.
get by all sorts of gigs. And there was a guy on there that speaks in Morgan Freeman. He's an imitator.
That is
and
genius.
He's really,
absolutely genius.
He does Christopher Walken and Morgan Freeman. And I thought his Christopher Walken was good, but his Morgan Freeman
it was
awesome.
Spot on. I mean, it was absolutely spot on.
Anyway,
very good.
Like that.
Very good stuff.
Well, you're a celebrity since your last blog.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that today, aren't we? Yeah, so, and I'll go, I guess I'll jump right in there. And if you read the blog, you go to our blog is Caskey1, CaskeyOne.com. You can see our blog. And look for the blog post. I did a blog post about a band called the Beastie Boys. And I put in here, and this is important, I said generation gap alert here, that if you're older than 45, you might need a young person to translate this. And as we were prepping for this... You said,
Who are the Beastie Boys?
I don't know who they are.
Well,
so this is
I've heard
play.
A song or two. I'm sure I've heard most of their work, but did the guy die? Didn't someone
He did, yeah, which
die?
Is what. So this is sort of an Adam Yauch, I think is how we say his name, right?
I
better known as MCA, who was kind of the heart and soul of the band.
Okay.
For a Generation X person who grew up with them, they became popular. Their first album came out when I was a junior in high school, and
well,
that's right
There's
when
my problem
when
right
rap
there.
and urban music really hit the mainstream, and so the suburban white kids were all like, hey, this is pretty good stuff here, and we absolutely loved it. And so I got to see the Beastie Boys in Cobo Arena in Detroit. About 6-8 years ago or so, I guess it was.
Oh, really?
Fantastic. And what they were a punk band to start with, and then they sort of put this hip hop stuff in there. And their manager Rick Rubin, who's now extremely famous, kind of discovered them, and in my opinion, created a whole new genre. So it was on a flight. Go ahead.
Rick Rubin, didn't he do? Isn't he like a producer now?
He's a producer.
Okay,
he always has been.
He did. Neil does a lot of work with Neil Diamond.
He does a lot of stuff with everybody.
I've heard of Neil Diamond.
He does.
I've heard of. He's 70, I think.
The next episode.
That's the connection.
Bill Caskey is going to take you through the Neil Diamond catalog.
Hot August
and find,
night.
Yeah. Mine's a little more rowdy.
A little bit.
Cherry. So
you did a blog post, and
I did.
Think there was some, I saw those three really good things.
Kind of fun thing. So if you haven't read the blog post yet, go to caskey1.com, look for the Beastie Boys inspired sales lessons. And we're going to go through some of these, and you're going to tell me kind of your version of what you think, maybe things you've observed in your clients and that sort of thing. And these are all inspired by Beastie Boys song titles.
Okay.
And perhaps, and I'll do a couple of riffs for you if you want me to.
Yeah.
If Joe could maybe put the YouTube link in here or maybe a little snippet of the song, right? So you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So you likely have not heard of any of these songs. That's my
guess.
Probably
not. No.
Okay, next, first one, Root Down.
I kick it root down. I put my root down.
I kick it root down. You've heard that, right? How you gonna kick it? Gonna kick it root down.
Never have heard
Okay,
that.
Here's what this inspired. It's a great song. I was in a training session, this was earlier this week, and one thing that we all got from this lesson was there's always a root cause at the deepest part of every sales problem that we typically stop short of, right? There's something down deeper. And so the lesson here is as you're discovering sales problems and issues, you need to think about the root that's down at the base of the problem that's down deeper than where you're at. Most people stop at the surface. Someone comes in and says, yeah, what do you have a thought there? You're making it funny.
Like, you're explaining to me like I'm, okay, I don't understand the Beastie Boys. I do understand root of the problem. Making it sound, okay, Bill. First,
so there's three boys. They're all from New York City. This one guy wears a little baseball hat. His name's Ad Rock. You know, I'm kidding. That is his name. Yeah. So tell me your experience about client, recent relationship, recent something where you've noticed this. Do you have any of those examples?
I think it happens all the time. I think it happens to us too. We get in the sales cycle, and if things are going well, it's easy not to root down in the Beastie Boys lingo.
Nice.
Because we feel like we don't need to. It's almost like it's extra work to go a little deeper with someone. And since we're all a little bit lazy and take the path of least resistance, I think we ignore that.
That's absolutely the case to me. And I think it's also everyone is so anxious to get going on the solution to it. They don't give the problem enough time to kind of show itself.
And sometimes it's not rooting down to the pain as much as it is up front setting the stage. Like I've got a client who gets a lot of phone calls. They're in a beautiful business. They literally get people who call in wanting to buy $300,000 drill rigs.
Yes, yeah.
And the problem is that if you don't stop that conversation, it can get to price really quickly.
Real fast, and stuff, and features, and what you should do, no question about it. So we have to start with what's going on, and there's always another question. Why? Seth Blogg's blog this morning was about that, or yesterday. Why ask why?
Yeah.
Why is the most important question you can ask? Okay. So root down.
Okay,
first
good.
One.
I like that one. Ready? Okay, so far I'm okay. I didn't embarrass myself.
No, you're good. You're good. Right. Okay, next one. We kind of talked about this a little bit just now. This one's called Slow and Low. Let it flow. Let yourself go. Slow and low. That is the tempo.
Slow and low. That is the tempo. And low. Let yourself go. Slow and low. That is the tempo.
The idea here, as we just said, is...
Could we get arrested for you doing a riff like that?
Let it flow. Let yourself go. No. Slow and low. No.
I don't think so. SCAP, is that who is the licensing? Okay.
Well, now we can. Now that you're putting that stuff out there, we're going to get in huge trouble. We're going to get sued. That's all I need is a lawsuit from the Beastie Boys after I'm trying to build them honor the guy's life. You know,
you take that blog down, by God.
We could. No, this is all about taking our time. And one thing I think we've lost as salespeople, and this is driven by even the buying cycle and the way we do things today, we've lost patience. We've lost the gift of patience here, right? And we have to allow the person that we're speaking with to work through their problem and to share things and relax and be okay. And I think sometimes our energy is so quick and we're so quick to be efficient because we think people want that, that we don't give it any time to let people just talk. And I think people react to whatever energy we give them.
Yeah.
And so the idea is let it flow, let yourself go, slow and low. That's the tempo that I want to enter into a sales call. It's pretty good.
It's really a good explanation. I think you said that the key thing is we think they want that. We think they want the shortcut and they want the quick action. And there's that space in between our conversation where we just shut up and let silence be, which allows, I used to always hear one of my mentors, he says, when there's silence, the prospect is working. So just let there be silence. Don't try to fill it with your next virtue or your next feature and benefit.
When there's silence, the prospect is working.
It's working.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And here's what I like about that. You've always heard silence as a tactic. Right? You've always been taught silence is a tactic. Don't talk. First whoever talks for loses. And so just be quiet. And they'll start talking like it's a tactic. I've always been bothered by that you're doing it intentionally. I hate that. However, the silence itself is great for space for thought.
Right.
And people, for you and for them. It's really, really good. I like to see. I just learned something right there.
Yeah, that's good.
That's very good.
Beastie.
I like that. I'm
going to
steal
it. It's a beastie lesson.
We'll have time for one more.
Yeah.
And then they can go to the blog and see and listen to the others. All right? There's a song called Paul Revere. Mm-hmm. Paul Revere. And it starts out, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with Ed Rock, MCA, and me, Mike D.
Do you ever forget a lyric?
I do. Well, it depends.
Because you can cite movies out of nowhere.
I don't know where these things are in my brain. Although I'm learning, I don't know the words to my kids' songs. So like the Bieber songs, I try to learn those. Like Boyfriends.
Or the kids. Yeah,
like my kids. Like Bieber's song, Boyfriend, I love. Now, yes, I'll admit that. I love the song. Can't think of the words. Anyway, so this is about storytelling here. That's one thing to take from Paul Revere is we have lost the art or we have sunk into a place where we're so quick to spit out, here's what I do and here's what my product does, and less about putting context around stories.
Yeah.
And I think we're so much more valuable to the other person listening if I can tell a story that they can relate to, the story that's in their voice. Even right before we came in here, we were talking about a product for us that we might be offering to engineers and saying, okay, let's talk about places where we've worked with engineers and talk about experiences we've had with them that they can relate to. People can follow a story. It has a beginning, a middle, and end. Sometimes there's a tension in the middle and there's some resolution. There are characters. It's easy to follow. That's the idea.
Here's the test.
Okay.
If you're a sales manager or a salesperson and you have a meeting coming up, ask your friend, your peer, hey, if somebody said to you, tell us a story about your product, tell me the story that you would tell.
Ooh.
Or if you're a sales manager, say, Brian, tell me a story about our service and our value.
Yeah.
What you will always get is, we do this,
yeah.
we do that.
Yeah.
We have 24/7 customer service.
Yeah.
It is really hard to tell a story. Now, here's one. I'm going to up you one on this.
Yeah, please
is
do.
There a difference between a story and a narrative? A story to me is something that, like, you might say, well, I had a client about 4 years ago who came to us because they had a problem and they did this and we did that, and that's the kind of work we do. A narrative to me is where you say, you know, 10 years ago, the government changed the regulations in this world, and it became very painful for people. Over the last 10 years, more and more regulations have changed. And so it's a story, but it's a little bit more of a narrative that says to the prospect, can you see yourself anywhere in this timeline of a story?
Nice. Very well done.
And that's it's the same thing probably, but I like the narrative up front because it allows a person to inject themselves into that.
Yeah, you don't have to keep me okay for one-upping me. That was a good one-up.
It's all right.
Yeah.
No.
Where does manifesto fit in that? Is it beyond? Isn't it bad that the word manifesto
is... Is that a Beastie
Boys? It's not. Is it? Hang on. I'll have to look up the discography.
A manifesto is a narrative. Yeah.
It's little heavy.
It's a heavy
kind of a heavy narrative, right?
Yeah. Communist manifesto.
Yeah. And the second element to Paul Revere, which just takes directly from the title,
Paul Revere.
Yeah, sorry. Is Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. It's a phenomenal book. It's a must read for every salesperson. It's amazing to me how many sales teams I go talk to for the first time and I say, has anyone ever heard of or read one of Malcolm Gladwell's books? And it's almost always
good.
No, they're all good.
Outliers is good.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. Outliers and Tipping Point and Blink. All three of those you need to read.
Blink.
The other one is more of his articles. It's so, the dog one, whatever that is. So everyone needs to go out and read The Tipping Point. It's
That's
all
great.
About connecting, yeah. and it's all about how you leverage networks to share information. And in this day and age, good salespeople have to do that.
It's good.
All right.
Why is it that, because I've had that same experience that Malcolm Gladwell, who's a great author, is a little bit beyond where most people hang in the bookstore?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a little bit... It's not a sales book. So
no, not at all.
But it applies.
He almost doesn't have a place. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, okay,
I think he's kind of
a
socialist.
The judge is calling
What do you
him.
Call it? He is the judge. Yeah, I'll tell him he is. My cell phone's ringing. My friend's nickname is the judge, so it says judge. Yeah, it's my parole officer. Oh,
something?
Damn, what time is it? I got to check on my parole officer. Hang on a second. Yeah, so everyone go check out the blog. That was good. Hopefully, Jill can put a couple of these songs in here, and I'd encourage you, Bill, maybe after the podcast, I'll demonstrate some of the songs that we just listen to, and you can
demonstrate. Okay.
You can then validate the reason why you never ever listen to the Beastie Boys. Like, oh yeah, I remember why I never listened to these dudes.
That's funny.
You can find us at LinkedIn to our group. Our group's growing. We're gonna start sneaking up on the next 1,000 person mark. It's really good.
500, 600.
Yeah, 632, I think. Last check, somewhere around there.
Wow, that's awesome.
And you can link to us both there. You can also find us on advancedsellingpodcast.com. Send us a letter. We'll do mailbag here in a couple of weeks. And that's all.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Brooke.
Cheers.
She was here.
Word.
All right.
Chill.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.